I'm Alex Woodley, and I work at the Harrow Research Center in Ontario, Canada, and I'm a postdoc there. And today I'm going to talk about water and nitrate loss partitioning through surface runoff and tile drainage from a long-term fertilization and crop rotation study. So here's an aerial photo of the research center. We're located about an hour east of Detroit, and so we're fairly south for in Canada. I'm going to kind of jump right into this long-term plot. So this long-term experiment got initiated in 1959, and it's the way it's oriented is it's on a Brooks and Clay loam, which is an orthic humic glacial, and it's kind of split between fertilized and non-fertilized. That's the first division, and then within that, there's different cropping systems. There's continuous corn and a bluegrass sod plot. I'm going to refer to it as a sod plot, and then the crop rotation, which is a corn, oats, underseeded to alfalfa, and then 2 years of alfalfa, which is then turned down and back into corn. And each one of these phases in the rotation is present each year. And all the fertilized plots receive 16.8 kilograms of N in the early spring, and then the corn, in addition, receives 112 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare at side dress. And for tillage, there's fall conventional tillage occurring, and also spring disking, and that occurs every year in the continuous corn, and then before and after the corn in the rotation plots. And this has been a really good site. There's been a lot of great research coming out of it in the past in terms of soil carbon, soil quality, nitrous oxide work. And the objective of this study is to look at the partitioning between nitrates and soil and surface and tile. Because this is a big concern in the Lake Erie region, as we have a lot of nitrate and nutrient loading and issues of algal blooms and eutrophication. So this is kind of the setup of the plots themselves. At the bottom of the plots, there is the surface and tile collection systems, and they're continuously monitoring the flow patterns. And then at a certain volume, the auto sampler is triggered, and we get a water sample, which is then analyzed for nitrates. So I'm going to talk about 5 years between 2008 and 2012. And the way I orient years is starting at planting. And so we go May to all the way to the following April, as we consider that will be the corn plot or the oat plot, depending on the rotation. And as you can see here, the average precipitation is around 860 millimeters per year over the 42 years. And in these 5 years, we get kind of a nice spread. 2008, 2010, and 2012 are all fairly normal. And then 2009 and 2011, we have a dry year and then a quite a wet year. And the average corn crop yields during that time kind of follow the similar pattern that's been going on for the last 20, 25 years. The fertilized rotation crop always will have the highest yield, often double to the continuous corn crop, which is the CC here. And then again, on the non-fertilized crop, you can see quite dramatic rotation effects with the continuous corn having extremely low yields. It's a very sad looking sight. It's had 56 years of continuous corn, continuous plowing, and no fertilizer on it. So it's pretty obvious that the soil quality is quite limited, but you can see the rotation effect in non-fertilized, and again, you can also see it in the fertilized crop. This is a 2010, this example picture. So we'll jump right into cumulative flow over those 5 years, and there's a lot going on in the graph, but it separates itself pretty dramatically. At the very bottom, you can see is the continuous corn, the monoculture corn, and the very bottom, you can see the continuous no fertilized corn, and then the continuous fertilized corn. Quite a bit lower. The highest plots are these sod plots. These are untouched grass plots that have had that many years to establish preferential flow and all those different aspects. The next two lowest ones are the non-fertilized versions in the rotation. And so it tends to be the more, with the fertilization, it's increasing the proportion of flow into the tile. When you look at the surface, it's kind of the mirror opposite. These two monoculture crops of the corn are the highest in terms of surface flow. And then again, these are the no fertilized rotational oats and alfalfa. And then again, at the very bottom, you see the two sod plots and the corn plots as having the lowest surface flow. So kind of a way to visualize that, in this graph here, we have 100% of the flow and how it's proportioned out in between tile and surface. And when you're comparing continuous fertilized corn versus rotational corn, continuous only has 25% of its total flow goes through the tile, whereas 80% goes through for rotational corn. And we also noted that the second year of alfalfa has a relatively higher tile flow than the first year, which kind of makes sense. It's that second year to allow increased preferential flow in terms of cracking or root architecture being increased or biopores. And the factors kind of affecting this flow, there's been lots of research on the soil quality of this site, and here's an example of the surface saturated hydraulic connectivity, and quite a dramatic difference between the monoculture cross between the rotation crops. And you can also see that there tends to be a lot higher soil carbon in these rotation crops, and so the combination of this low saturated hydraulic connectivity, low organic matter, also leads to higher bulk density. And so basically any precipitation that's landing on these continuous crops are just all going to the surface. There's no ability to infiltrate. And so this has an effect on the nitrate being lost. So a flow-weighted mean concentration is you take the total loss during one of these events and divide it by the total volume lost over the year. And the vertical lines here are fertilizing events. And what we saw in the mean, the areas with peak concentrations were occurring in the spring, and specifically on crops that were either the alfalfa in the second year or the corn crop. So the alfalfa has been turned over in the fall, and that's spring. You're seeing quite high concentrations in the tile. And in the surface, it was more mediated by the by high-intensity rain events. And in this one example here, there was a 2-inch rain event in one day and right after fertilization. And no matter what plot was on, there was just too much rain for it to infiltrate, and you had anything that was on the surface went off into the surface water. And so the implications on this on cumulative nitrate loss are pretty dramatic. On the top, the light blue is the alfalfa in the second year fertilized. So that was, again, that spring event. You can see it here in 2011 and also here again in 2009. It had been turned over in the fall with the plowing prior to corn, and you're going to see this large increase in nitrate. But the interesting thing is you're seeing is the yellow here is this rotational corn with no fertilizer. It never received any fertilizer, and it's still giving off a lot of nitrate from the previous alfalfa crop, almost over a year after the alfalfa was turned over. And so what's kind of emerging is that these alfalfa crops are huge contributors to nitrate, as well as, obviously, the fertilization events. And, sorry, that was in the tile. And then on in the surface, again, we see those two monoculture crops come out as the main nitrate losses in that way. And, again, that makes sense as over 75 to 93% of the surface, of the flow was through surface. And at the bottom, you see here, were these sod plots again. So it follows quite tightly with the cumulative flows. So again, just to visualize, this is the proportions split between tile and surface. And if you exclude the monoculture crops, 84% of the nitrate loss is lost through tile drainage. So in this area and this site, that is the main concern still, is tile drainage nitrate loss. And also in rotation crops, the act of fertilization tends to increase the proportion of nitrogen lost through the tile. And this kind of makes sense. If you're going to get higher yields, you're going to have higher biomass, but that means more carbon being returned to the soil. You have larger root systems. So you're going to have likely a higher ability for these sites to infiltrate water into the tiles. But again, if you notice here, the rotation corn that's never been fertilized is losing 92 kilograms of N per hectare over those 5 years, and also in the second year, the alfalfa here as well, which is really surprising in how much the alfalfa crop's contributing to these nitrate loss, even in the corn year. So kind of just to summarize, 60% of the nitrate loss occurred during the non-growing season between January and April, and specifically in that spring event on the tile flow was kind of the major contributors. And the highest flow-weighted mean concentration for tiles occurs in the early spring, and it's likely due to mineralization of the organic matter, movement of residual nitrates in the previous season, and then there's really no active root systems to take up any nitrate. And whereas the surface, the highest flow-weighted mean concentration kind of occurred during high-intensity rain events, you expect to have the high overland flow, and especially when it was shortly after fertilization. The surprising thing is that if you look at the average nitrate loss over the 4 years in the rotation, so including the oats and including the two alfalfa, you're getting a loss of 65 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And if you look at the average over 4 years for continuous fertilized corn, you're only getting a loss of 47 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. So even though you're having 4 years of corn being fertilized with 112 kilograms of nitrogen, it's not losing as much in these 5 years as the rotation crop is. And that really highlights the need for nitrogen credits need to be given to these alfalfa crops. They're large contributors to nitrate loss. Now, because this is an established long-term field study, we're not changing the application rates. We're going to maintain, and we're not giving any credit to these alfalfa crops. And that is really highlighted here in how you're actually getting larger losses with 1 year of corn versus 4 years of corn. A lot lower yields. And then again, this kind of follows again with the non-fertilized, about twice as much. And alfalfa and rotation, lastly, contributed 50% of the nitrogen loss. And that second year, when you turn over in the fall, and that spring loss is responsible for 73% of that 50%. So kind of dramatic differences. And we have another 3 or 4 years of data to work through. So it'll be interesting to see if that is continuing, that trend is continuing along. And I'd like to acknowledge Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada for funding this research. And if you have any questions, that'd be great. Thanks. Yeah, no, it's hard to say because it's great for the corn the next year. It's just maybe in terms of do we need to apply as much nitrogen to it? We're not even applying much nitrogen at all. It's only 112 kilograms. In terms of what to do, we've just collected this data recently, and it's really hard to say. It's surprising. We didn't expect to see the rotation to have a higher N loss than the continuous corn. But I think we need to consider the nitrate losses from the alfalfa a little more carefully. We didn't really think it'd be that high, so I don't know quite yet what to do with that.
When are you killing the alfalfa? It's in the fall.
And so we were on a clay soil and heavy clay, and so everyone in that region, we don't do spring turnover, which obviously would be a ideal, or more ideal if you did a couple weeks before planting of corn, but in this heavy clay, it tends to be a fall plow. And this is established in 1959, and we're kind of keeping that practice of just the conventional deep plowing. That's a good question. I haven't gone through that yet. To get the end credit, we'll need to know the biomass of it. And it has been collected over the years, but it has yet to be worked with. We really need to see the contribution there, but I don't know that yet. 2 years, and then turned over in the fall of the second year. And the way we look at it, 1 year is from the May to the April. So it's that springtime after turnover where we're seeing the losses. So yeah, like a cover crop in the spring, like a rye or something to absorb that, yeah, it could be potential, depending on how late you turned it over, if you did a fall rye or something. But we won't touch the long-term plot, but that's something to think about. There is phosphorus work. I'm not involved with it, but that's being actively done, and so I'm sure there'll be data emerging with that as well.
Yeah, we
we have a very expensive fossil there. Maybe the fossil is beginning.
How about other items?
Not right now, no.
What about water in our airlines? All in Kenya. The water sample will be continued collecting.
Yes, we haven't done that, but yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, thanks.